Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. So we thank God that we're here for another session of Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. So it's good to be here. So my question to you is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So we thank God that we're here, and we'd like to thank God for all of our LinkedIn connections, all of our Twitter followers, all of our Facebook friends, and all of our Blog Talk friends. Good to be here on another session of Blog Talk Radio. So as we're able to look into the perfect law of liberty, and that is none other than the Word of God. So it's good to be here. So we thank God that we're here. We want you to know, as we know, that there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we thank God for His Word. And that was a quote from the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. St. Paul writes a letter. It's one of his prison epistles to the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus, and letting them know. He's actually writing about the position of the believers and so many mysteries that God had given to St. Paul. So we know He gave him the mystery, He gave St. John the revelation, and He gave Peter the keys. So we're thankful for those three apostles. Certainly were very instrumental and very important. What they had to say, and we're still gleaming off of what they have written in these days to come that we're living in now. And so just thank God that we're here. So what a blessing it is, and technology has brought us a long ways, and up to this point where we are now, we weren't here many years ago, where we have so many vehicles, as such as Blog Talk Radio. And I think Blog Talk Radio been around since 06, I believe, and still people don't, some don't know, some people actually don't understand, and they're not familiar with Blog Talk Radio. So we thank God for Blog Talk Radio. There's so many other vehicles of live streaming that people can do, such as Facebook Live, Periscope, Busker, Zoom, Blab. There's so many platforms that people that you have nowadays, and so you can use them. People promote their business. Entrepreneurs especially use them. And then also we can promote the gospel along with all the other things that we can do with live streaming and all these different platforms. So we thank God that we're here on another session on today. And we want to continue on a little while longer on our session of Perilous Times. So we know that my ongoing theme is the Godhead. So many don't know. They think it's a Trinity. There's no such thing as the Trinity. And that came in like 320 A.D., you know, that as where Catholicism derived from, when Constantine supposedly had that so-called vision. There's no such thing as the Trinity, but God is one. And so that's why the term Godhead is in the Bible three times. It's in the book of Colossians. It's in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And it's in the book of Romans. So it's talking about his eternal power and Godhead. We ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto silver and gold. And then also that even his in Romans says even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So there's only one in the Godhead. So you have more than one head. Anything that has more than one head is a freak. And God is certainly an invisible spirit. He's omnipresence. He's eternal. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He had no beginning. He had no ending. And that's hard to comprehend. You cannot comprehend that with the natural man. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 says, "But the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them." Then St. Paul goes on to say, because they are spiritually discerned. So it takes the Spirit of God to reveal who Jesus is. And so he actually came into the world that he made. And that's why I read that quote out of St. John, the first chapter, in my intro when I come on the air. So again, we thank God that we're here. And should you desire to call in, our call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. Should you desire to call in, you have a question, you have something that you want to share, you are welcome. So we're continuing on. We've been talking about Perilous Times for, this will be part four. So we're actually still talking about that because we are living in perilous times, which are dangerous times we are living in. And so you almost hate, I mean, I never thought I would say that I almost hate to look at the news. I almost do, because there is just so much bad news, because it's just in the heart of people just to do wicked, just like it was in the days of Noah. And that's why God had Noah to build the ark, because the heart of people was just in them just to do evil continually. And so that we're in that time now, what he was talking about during his earthly ministry, and he says, when he returns to the earth, shall he find faith in the earth? What, you know, find faith in God is what the point is. So people are doing all kinds of things. So we kind of made mention on the last time we were on, we made mention about the signs of the times and where you can find the scriptures for the signs of the times. And so now Matthew, I made mention about the 24th chapter of Matthew. Matthew is instrumental. He wrote to the Jews, so that prophecy is literally for Israel for the most part, talking about fleeing into the mountain, to Petra. Only way you could get up there is on horseback. So that's literally, it still is the only way you can do that. That's why he mentioned if you see him in the desert, somebody say he's in the desert, believe them not. So like lightning shineth from the east unto the west, even so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Meaning, suddenly is what he means when he says that. And so then I made mention also about Mark, the 13th chapter has signs. And today what we bring in our lesson, we want to key in on the 17th chapter of Luke. But before we get there, in Mark, the 13th chapter, and you know, Mark, he wrote 16 chapters in his gospel, the gospel. So we know there's only one gospel, but there are four gospel writers. And so he wrote 16 chapters in his book, and then in the 13th chapter of his book, he kind of gives us a glimpse of things that are going to happen. And as they went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? You know, this is the question. There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So that actually happened when they destroyed that temple back in that day. So, and he sat, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, what shall these things, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? That's two questions right there that they asked. Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So the greatest deception I've ever seen in my lifetime was the so-called People's Temple. Jim Jones was back in 1978, in November of 1978, when they drank the poison Kool-Aid. He took them over to Gowanna, this island, Jim Jones did. And I'm told, like, one of his sons said that he loved his father, but he knew that his father had went off when he started saying that he was God. So in other words, they had to prove their allegiance to him, that they were in with him. I don't know what they had in that Kool-Aid, but that is where that comes from. And I've said that before. They literally drank poison Kool-Aid, and it killed hundreds of them. I believe it's somewhere between 700 and 900. I'm not totally sure, but I remember it just was just awful to look at that. These people all hugged up, laying on the ground, dead from drinking poison Kool-Aid, which is the point that I want to bring, what I'm talking about right here in Mark 13 and 5. Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. So they were deceived into drinking this Kool-Aid. Now, there are other things that happen too. Then there are ongoing things going on all the time where these people literally think these so-called suicide bombers, which is ridiculous because they don't believe the word of God, is where what you really have to key in on, because the Sadducees don't believe in the angel spirit. they don't believe in the resurrection, but the Pharisees believe in angels and they believe in spirits. So they try to trap Jesus. So, asking the question about this woman who was married a number of times and she never had children by none of her husbands. They all died. And so they asked the question, in the regeneration, whose wife shall she be? And he let them know, he answered and said, neither, for they shall be as angels, which means to be as an angel means to be neither male nor female. And the term for that is neuter gender, which means you're neither male nor female. So you're going to get married. There's going to be no marrying or giving in marriage. He's actually going to marry the church. And that's a great mystery. The church, which is the body of Christ, he is the husband man. The church is going to literally be the bride of Christ. So husbands and wives in this time, in this life, if you want a husband, you need to find you a man and marry him. Find you a man in the Lord. You're in the church. If you want a wife, you need to find a woman and marry her, a woman that's in the church. So you, in the world to come, you're not going to be reunited with your wife, because that is why in the marriage ceremony, which was commended by St. Paul, says, until death do you part. So it's severed in death. There's other reasons why people legally can get a divorce or an annulment. There are legal reasons. Every case has to be judged on its own merits. But the point being, in the life to come, there's going to be no marrying or giving in marriage. So therein lies the folly of these so-called virgins that they think that God is going to give them. And so I come up with a conclusion. Whoever they think is God, they're playing him for a fool, because they're sure not the true and the living God. You're not going to get no virgins. That doesn't even make sense, because you blow yourself up. You can't even find your brain. You can't find nothing else. You're not going to get nothing. So that's pure stupidity. That's deception at the highest degree, because you blow yourself up and you're killing people, and you're not supposed to kill yourself. And kill, murder is a legal term, but we're talking about killing. Murder can be premeditated. You thought about what you were going to do. That's not self-defense. If you had to defend yourself, that's a totally different thing. That's why Peter says, let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a busybody in other men's matters. So these people certainly were deceived. And that's what he's saying. So just even in the word of God, you cannot let people deceive you. And so this is why, we get the term perilous times. St. Paul is writing to his son in the gospel, Timothy, and he's letting him know things in Timothy there. And so he's letting him know things that you've heard among me, among many witnesses, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. So even in the book that we read in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, when I come on about one body and one spirit, even as you're called and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in all, he's writing to the church at Ephesus. He's writing to people who have already been water baptized in the name of Jesus, already been baptized with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Just like the prophecy out of Joel 2:28 in the Old Testament, the prophecy came to pass on the day of Pentecost, the 50th day from the Passover. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. So we know some of the other part of that goes on into the tribulation period. So you have to rightly divide the word of truth. That's why 2 Timothy 2:15, he was saying, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the Bible is the truth when it is rightly divided. And so he was saying, people are going to say, come in my name, saying I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. Be not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be. So we can see these things that are happening. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be earthquakes in diverse places, earthquakes in diverse places. There shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrow. So we know in India and a lot of these different places, these people are worshiping idols. I mean, they already cursed themselves. You're worshiping calves and all of that. And these, you know, what we call third world countries. And people are into voodooism and witch doctors and all that foolishness. That's out of the pit of hell. That has nothing to do with the true and the living God. And so the curse of the Lord, the Bible says, is in the house of the wicked. It's already there. But he blesseth the habitation of the just. So that's true. That scripture is literally saying the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. It's already there. But he blessed the habitation of the just. And I believe that's in Proverbs 3 and 33. So you don't, to be cursed, that means evil from the Lord. That's what a curse is. So he goes on here, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There should be earthquakes in diverse places, which means many places. There should be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. And he goes, take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to the councils. So this is talking about the disciples and apostles during that time. They're going to be beaten and brought before rulers and kings. For his sake, the gospel must be published among all nations, when they shall lead you and deliver you up. Take no thought before what ye shall speak, neither do premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour that ye speak, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. And then about brother betraying brother, father the son, children rising up against their parents, cause them to be put to death. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but the end, but that he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And so we want to stop right there. So should you desire to call in again, you're welcome to call in. If you have a comment or if you have a question, call in number 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. You are welcome to call in should you desire to call in. So thank God there's nothing like the word. So then he's talking about when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let him that read it understand. Then let them be in Judea, flee to the mountains. Remember what I mentioned about Petra? They literally, this is talking about Israel. The only way to get there is on horseback. This is what he's talking about here when he says, let him that readeth understand it, but let them that be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him that is on the housetop go not down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of the house. Let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. I pray and pray that your flight be not in the winter. In those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation of God, which God created unto this time, and neither shall be. And except the Lord had shortened those days, there should no flesh be saved. These the days that he's talking about. And so he says, but he hath chosen for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened those days. And so he goes on here again. Then, if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. And if for false Christ and false prophets shall arise, shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you these things. So this is what we have to realize. And so you got another, that's that time. And so after the tribulation and all these things that he's saying, they're going to be seeing the Son of Man coming in great power and great glory. That is literally the second coming, when he shall return with the church after the seven-year tribulation period. That's literally the second coming. Now, when he comes to get the church, that is the appearing. This is why the Bible says that of them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That is talking about the rapture of the church, or the catching away of the church, or the translating of the believers. Like he was saying in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Then the next verse he gives how it's going to happen in a moment. That's before you can bat your eye. In a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. He's talking about them that are alive and remain. So that is the appearing, and this is talking about the second coming. After, when every eye is going to behold him, they that pierced him, you're going to see that in the book of the Revelation. That is literally talking about the second coming of the Lord. So we're just giving some signs, things that are going on here to let you know, but about our lesson, what we're talking about on this evening. And I also want to go to the 21st chapter of Luke, because there's some things in here. So we know, like we've been saying on the last couple of broadcasts, that actually the last three, about the trouble, the dangerous times that we're living in, people are doing all sorts of things. And so here he was saying the same thing in the 21st chapter of St. Luke. And then we're going to go back to the 17th chapter, where our lesson will derive from. They asked him, saying, Master, when shall these things be? What sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? He said unto them, take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. So you got to believe. We have to understand some things that we should have a perfect understanding of, that so we won't be deceived. And so you know what the Word of God says, then you won't be deceived. So that's the problem. Too many people are not getting in the Word, and they haven't been taught to know what the Word of God says. Because you get, the Bible is a book that lives. It has to be taught. You can't just get this by yourself, but it has to be revealed to you. It has to be taught by someone who has understanding, someone who has been born again. This is not just an ordinary book. So, and the book is love and life and death, and the ways of life and wisdom and understanding. There's so much in there. So this is why Job says, and to man he saith, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So how are you going to get that? The interest of his word giveth life, gives understanding to the simple, in the 19th psalm. So you got to understand. And that's why at the end of that psalm he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So how are you going to do that? You're going to have to be taught the perfect law of liberty. And so one of the most important scriptures in the Bible is in the book of Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, when it says, so they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So this is why the people wept and why the people rejoiced, because they got understanding. This is why the proverbial writer, he says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So he said, hold on to her, she is thy life. So remember, if you've been following me, when I said that the Bible is written in masculine gender, when it says man, but it's actually talking about the human race, because in the 5th chapter of Genesis, God says, Moses wrote, he wrote the, the first five books of the Bible. It was revealed unto him, and he said, the generations of Adam and of man and the human family. He goes on to say, but God called their name Adam. That's talking about Adam and Eve. So that's the human family. That was the first family, as we say, we talking about the White House and all that stuff. No, the first family was Adam and Eve. They didn't have a mother or a father. Actually, Adam did have a father. His father made him, and that was the Lord himself. He created him from the dust of the earth. He didn't have a mother. He was created a full-grown man. And God took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh thereof. And that's why Adam said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she came out of man. So he made woman. Man was not made for the woman, but the woman was made for the man, to be at his side, to be his help meet. Because he named all the Adams and all animals, every animal that passed by Adam, whatever he called them, that was the name thereof. But there was not found an help meet for Adam. So this is why he created Eve, and I believe Adam was happy, and he knew what to do. He didn't need Dr. Ruth or no other manual, but he knew what to do, what buttons to push, because God gave him a good thing. That's why the writer says, he that findeth the wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. So God certainly blessed him with Eve. So he goes on here. He's talking about, people not being deceived. You shall hear wars and commotions. Be not terrified. These things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Then he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights and great signs shall these be. Shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you, persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being bought before kings and rulers for my sake. So a lot of things that they done, and so we can even read in the Acts of the Apostles, Apostle Paul had to go before Agrippa, the Roman government. They didn't realize that he was a Roman, and he had to go to Caesar, all the things that he had to do, but he knew the law, and so they could not, they didn't know what to do with him, really. They finally, at the end, he was in his own hired house, and before he, history says he was beheaded. So he was saying, I fought a good, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not for me only, but for all of them also who love his appearing. And so we're going to get a crown of righteousness. So everybody's going to get a reward. So you're talking about the way of Balaam and all. When Peter writes in his book in 2 Timothy, they're going to receive a reward of unrighteousness. You got to be out of your mind. Who want a reward like that? Who want to be with the devil and his angels forever in the lake? Death and hell going to be cast into the lake, where the beast and the false prophet going to be the only ones cast alive in there, where the devil is going to be cast in, and they're going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Nobody in their right mind want to go to hell or want to go to the lake of fire. You got to be out of your mind to want to go there. So this is what the gospel is preached, so that people can believe. And so that's what he was talking about before he started talking about the order of the resurrections, about terrestrial bodies and celestial bodies, and the first man of the earth, earthly, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. And then Adam all died, and Christ shall all be made alive. And all that he was doing when he was talking about the gospel in the first book of Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And he was talking about how he labored more abundantly than all the apostles that were before him. But he said, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So that's why I don't understand nowadays. People trying to outdo people, trying to make a name for themselves. They actually have the spirit of, in the 11th chapter of Genesis, they were going to build the Tower of Babel. They said, let us make a name for ourselves. So the thing is, it is not about us. You can't outdo yourself, or you're competing against yourself. That's ridiculous, because the gospel is not about us. We didn't die for nobody. The Lord himself, he gave his life. That's why John wrote in 1 John 3:16, he says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So the only thing we can do is to preach the gospel so people can believe. We can serve. And like he said, by this shall all men that you know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So this is what we have to do, not to be the same thing that happens, like what happened to Cain and Abel. Because he slew his brother because his own works were evil, and his brother's works were righteous. And that's why the proverbial writer says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? That's why the writer said, the same writer in Song of Solomon 8:6, the latter clause says, love is strong as death, but jealousy is cruel as the grave. So that's the thing that we're dealing with. We don't, when people are, St. Paul said, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. So you don't want to be. So then when you, so if you apply yourself and to apply yourself to get in that word and to pray and to seek God and to search out the mysteries of God and get understanding from the scriptures, so you can give understanding when you're expounding, when you're teaching, when you're inspired to be a blessing to other people, then they want to turn around and say, especially men have pride. They got a problem with that. They say, oh, you think you know more than this? No, you're jealous is what that is. You are envious, because some people, their badge of honor, oh, I've been in church all my life, you know, this, that, and the other. Then God brings somebody off the street, because I've seen it happen too many times. And I know people that are even a gentleman that's older than I am, that happened to him. And I've only been in here for 40 years. The 11th of this month, I've been in here 40 years, since August the 11th, 1976. I've seen it. So the point is, you make up your mind, you're going to get in that word, you're going to know what that word says. You don't have to have a great title to be used by God. All you got to do is be available and apply yourself, and your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. We were taught that. God wants to bring you before men. So he wants to expose, because the gift, like Peter said, as every man received a gift, minister with the ability that God giveth, that God may be glorified. So it's not about us. It's about him. So sometimes we miss, we get off track, realizing that the mission is the same. It's you know, the method may be a little different at times, but it's not about us, but it is about Jesus, because nobody's going to give their life but him. You know, it's just, he says, scarcely for a righteous man will one even dare to die. But Christ, God commended his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so this is what he's saying. He's letting them people know, the Romans, they knew the law. When he wrote to that church at Rome, he didn't start that church, but he heard of their faith. He wanted to go and impart to them some spiritual gift. And Rome was a horrible place. And Rome, Italy, is not God's holy mountain. That is not the holy place, but God's holy mountain is Jerusalem. And it always has been, always will be, God's holy mountain. So today, I want to get back what we were talking about, because time goes, and so in the 17th chapter of St. Luke is where our lesson derives from. So actually our tags, what we call on Blog Talk Radio, when you do your show, you give the information what you're talking about. And so we have three words that we are talking about on this evening, and we're dealing with perilous times. So you got to realize that the devil is a thief. He didn't come for nothing but to steal and to kill and to destroy. In St. John 10:10, Jesus says, "I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." So he's a good shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep. He's saying, "No man take my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again." But here we're going on here in the 17th chapter of Luke, and there's some good examples of things that you don't want to do. So you can learn, so you know how we used to always hear when we were young, experience is the best teacher. It all depends on what it is. Not if it's a bad experience, but on the, you know, you can learn by observing others. When you see someone make a bad mistake or say something ignorant or do something dumb, as we would say, then the lesson you learn from that is don't do it. Like, for instance, we know the two candidates are running for president of the United States, and we know the man that think he trumps everybody, because, you know, his name is Trump. That don't mean he trump everybody. God's word trumps everybody. But some of the things that he says and that he does, then he tries to run a psychological game to bail himself out to make everybody else look stupid, and you can't do that. You're going to say the president founded a certain group and the former Secretary of State founded a certain group, and in the media, they're saying they didn't sensationalize that. They do sensationalize, but that particular statement, they didn't, because you are on record. They got you. That's you saying it. And so then you turn around and say you are being sarcastic. No, you made a dumb statement, and you can't redeem yourself out of it. That's why the Bible says you're snared by the words of your mouth. You're taken by your own words. And so that's how it is. You're not only that, you are by your words you shall be justified. In the 12th chapter of Matthew, the 37th verse, he says, "And by thy words thou shalt be condemned." So you said it. So this is what we have to realize about our God. He already declared the end from the beginning. He already knows what is going to happen. He's omniscient, which means he knows all things. He's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere and every place. He's omnipotent, which means he has all power. He already declared the end from the beginning. It's like we would say he's watching television. He already saw this movie before. He knows what's going to happen. So people are going to be – so like I said, there one guy when I worked at General Motors, guy went on the roof and opened the window up. They would be letting cold air in the winter time to cool off. And so one guy got angry at me because I said, "Was that you up there or was that your ghost?" So the point is, it's you. You can't deny what you said, and especially nowadays, because everything is on record. You can Google it and get it. You can not just get the quote. You can see it coming out of whoever lips that formed it, that said it in the first place. So we want to move on here today as we in this perilous times. And so he was saying, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. So what were they doing in the days of Noah? It was pretty wicked. Their thoughts were, I believe, in the sixth chapter of Genesis, man's thoughts was only evil continually. This is what the writer says. So we can look at that today. It's not a gun problem or a knife problem, but have in their heart to do evil. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. I mean, people are doing dumb stuff. That's embarrassing when they really... When you go back to think about it, it doesn't even make sense. And I mean, we've all, as you live any length of time, some of your coworkers, or even when we went to school, people did dumb stuff back when I was in school. And when you think about, as you get older, you should get mature, and you should realize that some things, the person is not worth it. They're not worth you getting in trouble. So that was the conclusion I had, and I came to, and it was the right conclusion. And even when I was raising my children, me and my late wife, when we were raising our children, we had to let them know, don't do this, don't do that. You with someone, you with a fool, get away from them. For make it plain, somebody doing something dumb, get away from them, because you're not, because you're going to be in trouble. Association brings about assimilation, or as St. Paul put it in 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, he says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. So you got to be wise. So I got away from folks. I know people that are in jail even now. I know people that did stuff, then did not serve time for doing it. And some people I found out that done stuff by somebody else that came and said it. I mean, and things that I found out, I wasn't trying to find out. So we're living in dangerous times. We have been living in dangerous times for a long time. And so anyway, the days of Noah was horrible. That's why God had Noah to build the ark. Remember, they came up amidst it. It had never rained. Midst of the water that came up amidst and covered the whole earth. So in other words, it never rained. It's like water came up and everything stayed like it should be. It wasn't dried out like it is, and the ground is so dry. And then it can't, when it rains, now in some of these states it's so hot, the ground is just baked, and it won't take the water in like a sponge, like it should. And so the water has nowhere to go, and the infrastructure won't let it drain off like it should. And so you will get flooding. And so anyway, it had never rained, is the point being. So they ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. So likewise, also in the days of Noah, the days of Lot. And so that's the days of Noah. We got, so the days of Lot, what we want to deal with. Remember here, we're talking about, remember Lot's wife is what we're talking about on today. Everything that I said to bring us up to this point, because I want to make a point, and I want to drive that point home by Lot's wife looking back. You can find that in the 19th chapter of Genesis. But what is the key to all of Lot's wife looking back is Lot's wife is the example of unbelief. So why could not Israel enter in? You read in the book of Hebrews, he says, so we see that they could not enter in, talking about Israel, because of unbelief. Remember Romans 15:4 says, whatsoever things are written afore were written for our learning, that we through comfort and patience of the scriptures might have hope. So the Old Testament, Jesus was concealed. In the New Testament, Jesus is revealed. He was the same God. He could appear whatever form he wanted to be. He could appear as the angel of the Lord. He could appear in the flame of fire, in a cloud. He'd come down in a cloud. He can appear whenever form that he wanted to appear in, because he's God. He does what he will in the army of heaven. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And so the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. So don't that sound like today? Just people, and I mean these astronomical figures. Oh, yeah, so-and-so is buying of this company for $6 billion and all the millions. And then you got people that are very arrogant, just like Pharaoh was when he said to Moses and Aaron, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? So what the one presidential candidate, the man that think he trumps everybody, and that happens to be his name, and he brags and he says, quote, I'm very rich. Well, you know what? There was somebody in the Old Testament was very rich, but he wasn't going around bragging, and that was Abraham, the father of faith. He was rich in gold and silver in abundance. Job was a rich man. He was one of the richest men in the East. Solomon was super rich. He wasn't bragging. He was just doing. And so Trump is not the first man that's very rich. I mean, and so running the country or being the figurehead of a country is not like in all of those people you done jived and bamboozled and took their money and all. It's a totally different thing. You're dealing with a lot of things that you're dealing with. You don't know what's going to happen because we have truce breakers. All these things are going to be fulfilled. It's just a matter of time. And so the technology is all in place when the whole world are going to see the two witnesses in Jerusalem. That is the people that you want to make it into church. You want to be on the Lord's side. Like Moses asked the question, who is on the Lord's side? The Lord going to show. So you want to be after this in the fourth chapter of the book of the Revelation. That's the rapture of the church. Immediately, John says, I was in heaven. There was one on a throne. The door was open in heaven. So everything after the fourth chapter of Revelation, the church is looking back on the earth. And you go on, there's some things going to be so bad that are going to happen in the earth that he told John, don't write or write not, biblical terminology. Some things are going to be so awful. So you don't want to be left here. And then the tribulation saints, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony. That's not us. That's not now. You don't want to. They got to give their head. You don't want to. You want to be gone. I don't want to go to the chopping block. St. Paul didn't want to go, but he had to, because he was a murderer, and some of the other apostles were pulled in half by horses, skinned alive. So many horrible things. Peter was crucified upside down. I mean, so horrible things happened to the apostles. And these folks are calling themselves apostles. I say they don't know what they're doing, because there are no apostles today. We're building on what they already done. They were eyewitnesses. They were chosen by the Lord. They wrote the New Testament scriptures. They laid the foundation, and they died horrible deaths, everyone except for the apostle John. He died an old man. So he says, so this sounds just like today. Also, in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed, in that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. He that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. So remember, I was talking about Petra and about Israel, literally those mountains. The only way you can get up there in that day is on horseback. But here is one of the important scriptures in the New Testament, because people talk about Jesus not dealing with homosexuality and all that. He dealt with that in the 19th chapter about eunuchs made of men. Some men made themselves eunuchs. Some were eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. I mean, he's talked about fornication. You cannot have sexual relations with the same sex. That's ridiculous. And he didn't make it like that. Even animals. Animals want a horse, a stallion. He want a mare. A stallion is a he, and a mare is a she horse. A bull, cow, is a he. A heifer is a she. A rooster is a he chicken, and a hen is a she. I mean, he should want she, and she should want he. Not he want he and she want she. No. That's not the way it goes. And so it doesn't matter who don't like it. But you can't stop the movement. But God can deliver people out of that stuff. And he is. He can bring you out one by one. Because the movement, you're not going to stop the movement. They got destroyed. But he got during the days of Lot, he delivered Lot out of there, his two daughters, his wife, and his two sons-in-law. And those few people, they got out of there. That's because the angels had to drag them out of there. They didn't want to go. Lot sat in the gate of the city. But so he says, the same day that he went out, the Lord rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And so he goes on here, remember Lot's wife. So Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Remember Jesus in the New Testament said, no man having putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. So it has to do with your heart. Where's your heart at? Where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. So people, they're not rich toward God, but they drunk on things. And this is the point being, you never saw a Brinks truck, as we would say, that used to be they still have Brinks, the money man, the money truck. You never seen a Brinks truck following a hearse to the graveyard to put everything in there, because you can't. It's not going with them no way, because, I mean, that's dumb, because God is going to redeem us from the power of the grave. So there's going to be an awakening. Nobody is in hell right now. That was a parable in the 16th chapter of Luke, how it's, in other words, you don't want to be in that shape when that comes to pass. In other words, it's impossible to get out of hell. Excuse me. Jesus didn't go to hell. He preached to the spirits in prison in the days of Noah, that in few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. You got to understand the text. And so he says, the like figure doth also now save us in the book of Peter, not putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a clear conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is gone into heaven, angels and authorities being made subject unto him. That's in the book of 1 Peter, I believe, the second or the third chapter. So that's talking about in the days of Noah. He dealt with principalities and powers and darkness and all that stuff when he gave up the ghost on that day when he was crucified. And he rose again on the third day morning. So you don't remember anything else. Remember, Lot's wife was the example of unbelief. She looked back. You want your heart to be, you're not leaving, you're not going to take nothing with you when you leave here. No way. That's the thing that people really have to understand. The only thing going to go to heaven of yours is your prayers. They ascend up before God, but God is going to redeem your soul. That's why he was saying, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So no one wants to be lost, nobody in their right mind. So we thank God for this another session of Blog Talk Radio, and we thank you for listening to Blog Talk Radio, to Truth Ministry, and on Blog Talk Radio. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry 5525 att.net. That is truthministry 5525 at att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into birth. And remember, my question that I always ask, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And have you been down in Jesus' name yet? There are so many people claiming to be apostolic. Apostolic means like the apostles. So that's what the church is built upon, Ephesians 2 and 20. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. God bless you.